Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin. Welcome to Cavs the Podcast. I'm Nate Smith. I'm here with Chris Francis. Shout out to our boy Eli, who isn't here, but with us in spirit. And we're coming to you after a 111-103 loss. Was that the final score?
111? No, 119-111.
Sorry, my bad. I knew it was 8 points. lost to the Knicks, and I kind of felt like this was my pregame thread. I think the NBA wants the Knicks to win and the Cavs don't get a whistle. Knicks by 5 and some bullshit. And I feel like 8 point loss is 5 and some bullshit because it is very difficult to guard Jalen Brunson when they're just going to let him ref bait the whole crunch time. So, but that being said, the Cavs dug themselves a 15 point halftime deficit with some pretty piss poor play. Kind of tried to feel their way into the game. Didn't have a lot of energy in the first half. You know, I thought Jalen Tyson looked pretty clueless, to be honest with you. I was not impressed. And while his box score wasn't abysmal, you know, 5 points, 2 of 4, 2 turnovers, -6. I thought he was in the wrong place on defense quite often, and that hurt them a lot. And of course, obviously the rebounding and the free throw differential. I mean, the Cavs fouled 3-point shooters how many times? Four times in the first half. So a 36-18 free throw differential. If you take 12 points off that, it's a little more fair, But yeah, it was a hard game to overcome. Brunson going 12 of 13 at the line on a night. He shot 5 of 18 from the field and 1 of 9 from deep. So that's my takeaway. Cavs out-rebounded. I keep almost being done and then coming back. But Cavs out-rebounded 48 to 32. That was the other big deal. What's your big takeaway?
My big takeaway is how much Jared Allen sucked.
Yeah, he was terrible. He was very, very, like very no Charmin show. Charmin soft.
Yeah, complete no-show. Mobley on the boards, not that impressive.
Yeah.
2 offensive rebounds from the starters. That's absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah.
Just no heart on the boards at all. Lack of physicality. That's always that's going to be the number one thing people pay attention to.
The most physical player that game was Sam Merrill.
Maybe so. Yeah, probably so.
I mean, at least offensively.
Yeah.
Larry Nance brought it, you know, 10
that
points.
That was on the positive end. That's the other big thing I took away is Nance and Ball looked great.
I thought Tyrese Proctor looked great too.
He looked like he belonged. I'm not going to say he looked great.
But he looked whelmed. He didn't look overwhelmed. He looked whelmed.
He looked whelmed. That's good, yeah.
Craig Porter Jr. looked overwhelmed.
Yeah, that's a big disappointment. What the hell are you doing, bro?
I think
Tyson, on offense, he looked lost, but
the effort was there, he missed a lot of rotations. And like, forgetting Brunson is left-handed is like, come on.
No, I'm blaming Brunson being unwatchable garbage. God, I hate that.
Yeah, but this was the first half. Like, Brunson got a wide-open corner three because Proctor stood there and watched him catch the ball and shoot it instead of rotating the defender for the very first point of the bucket or of the game. He missed so many rotations in the first half. It was very frustrating.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't care about that. Their defense was good enough to win. I mean, they held them to 43%
shooting. Yeah, but the problem was the rebounding. How many offensive rebounds they give up?
They gave up nine, which is actually not bad for them typically.
No, you're
right.
It's
more that they didn't crash the boards on offense. They didn't show the same physicality on offense that they did on defense.
You're absolutely right.
So, you know, Brunson's ref baiting. He got the homer calls, so I'm not going to take too much away from it. I think also the chemistry was a problem just generally. There was a sequence where like two guys ran into each other two possessions in a row.
Yeah.
Like not knowing where to space.
Yeah, and that was the other problem. Jalen Tyson was lost on offense.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would agree with that. Mobley and Mitchell pulled the same thing on the next ensuing possession. Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Yeah, just out of rhythm because of new pieces and also missing players out of, Struce, DG, and Hunter were all out. So they had to retool this on Garland for tonight. Yeah.
Garland may be back. Garland will definitely probably be back before Max Struce from what I'm hearing. So
that's crazy. And that'll definitely help in terms of just having that bucket for especially in backup, secondary lineups and stuff like that. You could run some all defense, and go say, hey, Garland, go get us 30, kind of thing. So,
well, and the other side of that is the Cavs scored what was that first quarter score? It was super low. Sorry. Of course, why wouldn't I have that up?
Well, they only scored 23 in the first quarter.
Yeah, that's what it was. 23 in the first quarter, and a lot of that was because Donovan Mitchell was kind of trying to set everybody up, feel his way into the game.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
He didn't
take any shots in the first half.
Yeah, there was not a great rhythm to the offense, and he works as a lead guard. Mobley works as a secondary ball handler, but he can't be your primary ball handler, Evan Mobley. Like, that's not a good fit. For one thing, he's too good around the basket to be pulled out to the perimeter and initiating offense all the time. And while he was very good offensively at times, they struggled from a playmaking standpoint. I mean, they only had 21 assists, even though they shot 47% from the field. So clearly a lot of it was ISO Donovan in the second half, ISO Mobley, and, not a lot of rhythm on offense.
Yeah, I mean, it was clunky offensively, I think,
because
of the lack of chemistry. But the main thing is I think you didn't get the ball to Jared Allen. There was that one play where Allen, even the broadcasters called it out. Like, Allen had Deuce McBride on him right in the paint on a secondary action in fast break.
Yeah.
And Proctor looked him off and Mitchell looked him off.
Well,
when they switched, he still had a small on him. Make the simple play. Throw him the damn ball.
Yeah, well, and that's part of it's always been the book on Allen. If he doesn't eat, he doesn't play as hard.
Yeah. Well, that's on him, though. He needs to bring it. He could go get
100%.
The ball. 100%. He could go get the ball on the offensive rebounds, and what did he turn in, zero?
Yeah. Now the guy I thought that played his ass off tonight in one of his best games in a Cavs uniform, at least as a starter, was Sam Merrill, was lights out tonight. 19 points, only -1 on the plus minus, and then 5 of 10 from three. He was lights out from three. Like, I thought he was great. He was one of the things that kept him around. Brought a lot of physicality on defense. Played really hard. Sometimes got overmatched you know, you're going to have that when you're a short guard, but it wasn't ever for lack of effort or physicality, I thought. And I thought he got some bullshit calls, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, they, you know, obviously ref ball is happening when Brunson shoots 13 free throws.
Yeah.
On off a garbage shooting.
Oh, the guy who got the worst whistle of the night was Larry Nance. Was just, like, he got that moving screen call that was total garbage. He had another one where he clean blocked Cat from behind. They called a foul. Even on an and one, like, Cat caught it and put it in, and they still called a foul. It was crap. Knicks,
these refs were as corrupt as Cuomo and Eric Adams.
it was rough. But sing some praises for Sam Merrill, because I think he deserves some.
Oh, yeah. I would agree. It's, you know, I think the thing you pointed out is most important. He was the guy who was playing physical. He was the guy not backing down to anybody. Yep. And that's in this is ridiculous that we got to ask this out of our Twin Towers.
Yeah.
You know, like, get it together, man.
Yeah.
You know, the team begins and ends with them.
Yeah.
If we're going to get where we need to go, you know, and they,
especially when you
got dominated and they didn't,
and that team's missing.
Yeah, exactly. Starting center. Just going to say,
yeah.
Yep.
Missing Mitch Rob.
Yeah. And Hart would have destroyed us on the boards.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, that was disappointing. That's the most concerning thing, is the thing that dogs us in every big game is a lack of physicality, lack of rebounding, and it showed up again in a big game. And what's the fix?
I don't know. I mean, let's talk about the good things. One of the good things was Donovan Mitchell in the third quarter went crazy. Was doing everything, scored 31 on the night, 12 of 25 from the floor, 5 assists, 3 turnovers, 2 steals, a block, you know, 2 boards. He was everywhere on offense, but again, if Donovan Mitchell has to do too much, it's not sustainable for the Cavs. And that was kind of what it happened. And the other thing is he doesn't have great chemistry with Mobley right now, like you noted. It was kind of a your turn, my turn situation. And they were staggering them as a lot as kind of their lead offensive facilitators, which makes sense because they don't have a lot of offensive facilitators out there. But it was frustrating to see them running into each other on a play right down the stretch. And I take a little bit of what David Wood said in our text thread. Evan Mobley, while I love to see him going 4 of 8 from three, he's got to be more physical down under. He's got to demand the ball. He's got to go to the basket. He's got to get to the line. He seemed afraid to get to the line again tonight. And the Cavs, as a team, 12 of 16 from the line, or 12 of 18, 67%. That's not getting it done.
Yeah, notice who boofed them.
Yeah, Mobley and Allen.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they just know. I mean, that's the story of the game right there. They got absolutely dog walked by Ananobi and Cat, which is sad, to be quite honest.
Well, and Ananobi was ridiculous that game. 24 points, 14 rebounds, 3 steals, and a block. Cat, 19 points, 11 rebounds. You know, this is, and to top that off, the Cavs had, they had a lot of turnovers, but they were turnovers of aggression, right? And you got outplayed by their front court. That's all there is to it.
One block between Allen and Mobley.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, Mobley did have 3 steals. You know, Allen had 2 steals. You know, they were somewhat active, but they definitely. Here's the thing on Jared Allen. You should not have 0 fouls as a starting center that played 28 minutes. That means you're not being physical enough if you got no fouls. That's ridiculous. You know, put some wood on a guy coming into the paint. That's part of the thing on, you know, Jalen Brunson. If he's going to get 13 free throws, he better freaking feel them the next morning. And they were all touch fouls. You know, they were all like, yep. Like if a guy's going to fake and hit him just this side of a flagrant, you know, that's my take on it.
Oh, yeah.
Leave a bruise.
Luke Kornet, you know, pretty much put an elbow into AD's face just a few minutes ago. That's what I want to see.
Well, yeah, exactly. A guy
hey, I know you love that, Nate. I do.
I'm not a big Luke Kornet fan, although I did think he was a guy a few years ago. I was like, the Cavs should maybe give him a flight. Was he a Cav for a hot second? He was with a ton of teams.
I don't know.
But he definitely caught on with Boston, figured out how to stay on the floor, and yeah, solid player. Another solid player I thought had a really good game tonight, although I would have liked to see him bring it on the boards a little more, but Dean Wade.
Yeah, he can shoot, baby.
Three for three from deep.
We'll take that.
I thought his defense in the fourth quarter, especially on, well,
when he was getting ref balled too.
Yeah, he got ref balled.
They had him on Brunson. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they did hold Brunson to a great percentage shooting on the court, but, you know, just getting ref balled and all that. Yeah. But no,
I thought he played fantastic D.
Yeah, so. I don't even care about the defense, really. It's the fact he was a willing shooter when there was an open shot.
Yeah, well, no, I think it's that and the D. Like, he was a legit 3 and D
player. Always bring the defense, I feel. You know, his problem is that he becomes a scaredy cat whenever the ball's in his hands on offense. And tonight he wasn't that, especially at Madison Square Garden, a big game.
Yeah.
I take some heart with that he was a willing shooter when it was there.
Yeah, for sure. What did you think of Mobley's offense? Was it sustainable? Well, we'll get to that right after the break.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to Cavs the Podcast. Nate Smith, Chris Francis, Evan Mobley. Chris, what do you think of his offense tonight?
Generally good. Most disappointing part was the lack of playmaking, as you kind of alluded to before. There was only 3 assists to his name. So that's the most disappointing part, is not seeing the playmaking, not seeing the passing from him. I mean, where's the big-to-big action? You know, where's the Mobley?
Well, I have a little bit of a comment on that. And my big comment there was, I think a lot of that early on was caused by spacing issues for the Cavs, and especially, you know, the rotations to the open spots weren't good. And it was clear that the Knicks were crashing down on that big-to-big action. And there was a lot of times the Cavs had 2 guys in the paint with 3 Knicks there. And they were, you know, pinching down to take away that big-to-big action. And when that happens, you got to find the shooters. And that didn't happen. And a lot of it was what Kenny Atkinson talked about in the interview, is they weren't working hard enough on offense for shots. They weren't moving the ball. They weren't going to the secondary read. It was like one look and then, okay, if we turned over, we turned over. So that's where I thought a lot of the lack of big to big came from. Did you see anything different?
I don't know. I mean, I just saw nothing of it, pretty much, whether it was in, what you're saying is true, then the problem would be not seeing the open shooter fast enough in rhythm. That means they're not kicking it out fast enough so that the guy has an open shot.
So, yeah, I agree with that.
But it's hard to say that when they shoot 46 threes and shoot 41%. The 3-point shooting was fantastic. So really,
agreed. I thought it was mainly after the first quarter. Like,
yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
they never went back to it, right?
Yeah, I think, well, it's, and that was also Donovan putting the offense finally on his shoulders and not being so passive, so.
Well, and then you did see big to big. I don't know if you saw the one where Mobley spotted Allen on the break and threw him the lob, and then Allen missed both free throws. So, you know, if you don't hit your free throws, there's not much you can do.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing is, yeah, I like Evan Mobley's offense. It was fine. It just, where's the, you know, three assists, only five assists. So that kind of just, yeah, it was Evan Mobley and Donovan Mitchell ISOs for the most part, you know. So
yeah,
they've got to find a way to get Jared Allen more than four shots. You know, maybe they could have gotten Merrill a few more shots. You know, he was a hot hand with 5 of 10. That's probably pretty good anyway. But, you know, Dean Wade was hot. You know, Larry Nance was hot. Do you find him a couple more shots? Lonzo Ball sadly sucked on shooting, but 6 assists. So that's the thing about Ball, is that the ball pops, you know, when Ball's in, at least.
For sure. For sure.
And you see the lack of chemistry, though, with the four turnovers. So,
oh, for sure. Well, a couple of those turnovers were just like straight bad passes.
Yeah, yeah.
Or well, the one.
You could tell he tries sometimes the home run pass and it doesn't work.
Well, I thought, like, their mistakes, of course, when they're down late, get compounded or magnified. And Ball had that one where he had an open three, and instead of just shooting the open three, he tried to sling it to the corner and threw it about 8 feet over Sam Merrill's head. And then he came down the next time and shot the three he should have shot, and he made it. The problem was he tried to do it again and he clanked it.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a pivotal one. That sucked.
And much like the Evan Mobley, where he was hot, got it going. Then he came down and tried to shoot a three on the break. And just missed it, hit the back rim, and ended up coming down the other way. Was Towns got an and one, and ended up being a 6-point swing. You know, that's the kind of make or miss thing that happens when you are a big man and you shoot those transition threes. You know, leading the break instead of trailing the break. So, and make or miss league, right? Although the Cavs made more threes than the other team, right? The Cavs had made 19 to 14.
The issue was free throws, giving them so many free shots on the free throw line and never going for an offensive rebound, not being physical and going and making them pay, you know, with some blood.
Yep. Yeah, how physical. I do like what you said about Lonzo Ball. I thought Lonzo Ball was, I think, their best rebounder in the first half. Yeah, I think he led the team with 4 rebounds in the first half.
Jeez.
And I liked a lot of what I saw from him. Like you said, and Richard Jefferson was talking about him a lot, the ball definitely popped when it was in his hands. Like, he was really good. I thought they were really good about he initiates the break with velocity, and then when he catches in the break, he has a lot of velocity towards the basket, and that was a really great observation. I thought he looked really good, and he fit really well, and frankly, they needed him in the second half as a secondary ball handler. There was one weird-ass possession where Evan Mobley was the and Sam Merrill were basically the two ball handlers on the floor. And that lasted one possession because it was a disaster. And then they took out Tyson for Ball. And I don't know, like, Tyson, can he be a playmaker? Is he too overwhelmed?
No, he definitely could. And actually, that's probably the solution, now that you mention it, is put him on Ball. Because we've seen him on Ball, you know, summer league a lot, and that's where he excels. He doesn't really excel as a spacer, go sit in the corner, Okoro type of offensive game. He's more of a distributor on the ball, wants to attack the basket and make a pass, you know. So I think that might be a solution to kind of get him going, is to get him more on-ball touches. But it's hard to, you know, when of what's disappointing about him, 2 rebounds, not good enough. 1 assist, you know, 2 turnovers.
I think the 2 turnovers he did have were brutal. Like, one, he just gave it to Miles Bridges, who went down and scored on the other end. It was like, what are you doing, dude? And that makes it hard to have trust in a guy when you just give him a pick six, you know, give the other team a pick six. But
yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, this was his first big game.
Oh, for sure.
You know, like, this is literally the biggest game of his career he's played so far. So, and also, I think he was out of the rotation. You know, he was not in his normal rotation spot. He was starting. Yeah. So, Madison Square Garden, first game that you're kept being counted on. Actually, in view of that, you'd have to say CPJ's performance was qualitatively worse.
What the 100%. I thought he reminded me of Summer League CPJ, where he seemed completely unprepared and just drifting through his moment.
Crazy. Come on, man.
Yeah, be ready to play.
I was rooting for you.
Yeah, I kind of got the feeling that they told him he wasn't going to be in the rotation, and then they kind of needed him for some playmaking, and he just completely wasn't ready. Like, dude, stay ready. Stay engaged. Stay in the game. I thought he was really drifting when he was out there for, like, he was out there for 7 minutes and basically had 1 foul, 1 assist, 2 shots, and I don't remember him doing that much. Like, he just seemed like completely
minus disappeared. -9 in 7 minutes. Yeah, he was
-9 in 7 minutes. There you go.
Doo-dooing all over the board. Well, I mean, Proctor's totally snatched his chain, man.
100%. I hope Proctor gets all his minutes. I thought Proctor looked really good. He had those 2 passes to Larry Nance for 3s in the first half that kind of kept him within striking distance. You know, he actually read the floor and made the right pass. And, you know, 2 assists, 0 turnovers, 1 for 3 from deep. Didn't try to do too much, but I thought he played well.
Maybe that's who gets Jason or Jalen Tyson going. That bench unit's going to look really nice as soon as Hunter comes back.
Oh, 100%.
Struce. Oh, my God. If we could just get Hunter and Struce and DG, obviously, but more so to me because of the defense that you could, the defensive lineups you can run out there. If we get Struce and Hunter back,
yeah,
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Knicks, do you think they are an Eastern Conference contender?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was listening to talk radio past couple days here in Cleveland. And, I mean, one of the guys said, and I agree with it, they're the favorites of the East. They should be the favorites, not the Cavs. You know, the Cavs on paper are probably deeper, more talented, you know, maybe more expectation, but really it's the Knicks that should be the favorites.
I don't see, like, let's compare them head to head. You know, Mitch Robb and Allen, at best it's a wash, right?
No way, I take Mitch Robb. What are we talking about here?
I said at best.
Yeah.
Okay. I said it best. not in a head-to-head, I take Mitch Robb. Mitch Robb always outplays him head-to-head. Cat and Mobley? I mean, maybe Mobley by a nose, but Cat's got more experience. You saw it tonight.
No, I'd take Cat. Giving Cat the edge.
Yeah.
He rebounds.
Yeah. OG and... Gosh, what's his name? The guy that wasn't in tonight.
DeAndre?
Hunter. OG, yeah, OG and Hunter. Obviously. I would take Ananobi in a heartbeat. Ananobi's the exact player the Cavs need. I would take Mitchell over Brunson, but it's close. And Brunson knows how to bait the refs and knows how to close games. And then you got Mikal Bridges and Garland. I mean, I got to go Bridges for fit and ability in the playoffs. Garland's going to have to play his ass off to be better than him. And then where the Cavs do have the bench, I think, the advantage is the bench. I do think the Cavs bench is much better than, you know, Landry Shamet. But Miles McBride balled out tonight. 15 points in 25 minutes, game high plus 17. He was great. Landry Shamet had a really nice 9 points in 14 minutes. I think they have a, and plus they have Hart, you know, and Hart is probably better than, Max Strus. I would take Hart over Max Strus, and I like Max Strus, you know.
Yeah, that might be the closest matchup, and you wouldn't be wrong for taking Hart.
Yeah, no, he just does more of the little things, and
although
and
Max
things
was
that went
so
in the,
good last playoffs.
Oh, he was great. Things that went in the playoffs, but yeah, agreed. Like maybe that's a wash, but on paper, the Cavs are probably better 8-10. But in the playoffs, does 8-10 matter enough?
No. Yeah, that's a great point. That's an absolutely that you probably nailed it right there. Is that the reason why the Cavs look better on paper is because of 8-10, and who cares?
Well, I mean, it matters for the regular season. The regular season does, you know, translate to the playoffs in terms of seeding and that kind of thing. But it's not enough, as we saw last year, to overcome, you know, not being able to execute in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, we were done in. I mean, when you think about it, who were we done in by? We were done in by superior star play, you know, with Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah, 100%. And Evan Turner, frankly. Miles Turner.
Yeah, no, you're right, though. Yeah, it was their top two guys carrying them above our top two guys.
No, Miles Turner outplayed both the bigs on the Cavs.
Yeah.
Maybe together.
100%. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, definitely Allen and Mobley, definitely defensively. So, So I'm saying the Knicks are the favorites in the East. You know, Cavs can compete with them, but they're not the favorites to come.
No,
out
and
East,
they got to get tougher if they want to beat them.
Yeah.
I think the last year's over regular seasons is pretty overrated by a large overshadowing injury from Mitch Rubb. And also, you know, them adjusting to Hartenstein being gone, who was one of their best big the year before. So,
yeah. They still got the sauce, which is the physicality.
Yeah.
And they got Brunson's ref baiting and paid off refs. Yeah. So,
well, and
New York corruption. So,
yeah, and OG Anunoby said it was his goal to be defensive of the player of the year. And if he plays like he did tonight, he will be.
Yeah.
He was great.
Yeah. That was a hell of a statement he made tonight. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's a guy to me that always hits clutch threes too. And that's huge. Like, if you are a really good defensive player and you hit clutch threes, it's really hard to beat. So, but on to another game. Anything else you want to say about the Cavs or the Knicks here?
No, I mean, it sucks. It'll be interesting because if you look, we have three games against them this year. All of them are we got Christmas Day on ESPN, ABC. And then we've got right after the All-Star break in February on NBC. So all three games are going to be nationally televised, big games. So they're, you know, this is the game within the game in terms of these are the playoff games within the regular season for
us. These are the showcase games, the statement games, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, and so statement made by the Knicks. The Knicks have proven that there's good reason to doubt the Cavs and that there's nothing that's really changed about the Cavs. So let's see how it goes through the season. But the statement was physicality will be a problem. And,
focus.
We got to freaking figure it out. We got the bigs got to figure it. It's, you know, that's the whole deal is like we have, you know, the core four, you know, this is what they all make a big deal about. Why, you know, we kept this crew together. We expect this
highest payroll in the NBA.
Highest payroll in the NBA. Exactly. Exactly. And then
how much luxury tax is Dan Gilbert paying? I think it's like $100 million.
Yeah, over $100 million. It's close to 150. So, you know, I don't want to hear any pissing and moaning about, criticism about, these core four, because they're not getting it done when the lights are bright. So get it done.
It is estimated to be over $200 million. That's insane. Like, yeah, if I was Dan Gilbert watching Jared Allen tonight, I'd be a little annoyed.
Yeah, as we all should be, And, Mobley, let's get the 10 rebounds.
Yeah, let's go get those boards. You can't just board hard when the second quarter starts, or the third quarter starts. The second half, I mean. Like, you got to do that all the time. Yep. We'll be right back. Welcome to Cavs a Podcast, or back to Cavs a Podcast. Chris Francis, I'm not him, I'm Nate Smith, but we're talking about the Cavs.
I like that. That was good.
Yeah, thanks. So no rest for the wicked for the Cavs. They have obviously they have the home opener against the Nets, which you got to think they're going to come out and play hard after a loss to the Knicks, but... Then they got Sunday, they got the Bucks. Monday, they got the Pistons at home. Then they have the Celtics, then the Raptors. So not, and then the Hawks in over the next, week. That's a lot of games. And that's a lot of, I think they have six games in 9 days. That's a lot,
They're already grinding, yeah.
Yeah, they're already grinding, yep. So, I heard DeAndre Hunter's day-to-day. Gotta hope he comes back and looks good.
He looked incredible in the preseason.
He did. He looked really good in the preseason. And honestly, I think that's a lot of why they were way out of rhythm tonight. Because they clearly... Jalen Tyson with the starters, not the same chemistry, didn't know really where to be. It was a little funky, the fit, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think especially how good Hunter looked just offensively. My God, he was making every damn shot in the preseason.
He was. Was
glorious. And
yeah, he was ISO king.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whew.
For sure.
And you were talking about spacing, there's your spacing. Yeah. What if you have a lineup, if you have a backcourt with you have a backcourt with Hunter, Merrill, and Mitchell, well, that's a hell of a lot of space they're creating.
Well, then you play Wade, and they were playing those five out lineups in preseason with, Mobley at the five.
Right.
At point five, right? So it's not like they're hurting for shooting when they have Hunter in there. So,
oh man, that'll be good.
They're gonna be fun to watch. So yeah, let's take some of the upcoming opponents. We got the Bucks, who whooped up on the Wizards tonight, but that's no surprise. I think it was one of those games where they were way up and then the Wizards, kind of came back to within 13 to make it look respectable, but it was probably against
backdoor cover.
Backdoor cover, exactly. I don't know if they covered, but I'm sure it was close. Yeah, exactly. The backdoor cover. That's good stuff. I want to go peek at that box score because I think a lot of people are sleeping on the Bucks because they want Giannis to move. They want Giannis to get shipped out of town. And I think the Bucks, as long as nobody gets hurt, have some decent players. The problem is they are not very deep. Their starting lineup is Giannis, Miles Turner, which I think is as good of a 1-2, good of a front court combo as you're going to see. But then they got, Gary Trent, who I like, who I wish the Cavs had.
Go Duke.
given money to a few years ago. But then they got A.J. Green, who just got an extension. But then they got our old friend Kevin Porter Jr., their starting point guard, which is fantastic. And then the drop-off is sharp with Kyle Kuzma, who's one of the...
I don't know. Him coming off the bench is...
Makes more sense.
Yeah. Like, that. Just letting him chuck as a six-man seems to be ideal for him.
Yeah. And then Bobby Portis, another good bench guy. And Taurean Prince, been around a long time. I actually like Cole Anthony for them as a bench guard. I think he makes a lot of sense for them.
Well, yeah, because you got all that size that you were just meant.
Yeah, Portis, exactly.
Prince, Kuzma is pretty long for backups.
I think if they're smart, Cole Anthony will get more run as the season goes on. He actually had a crazy line tonight: 9 points, 5 assists in just 12 minutes, which is pretty darn good. But he also had
five. I agree with you, man. Yeah. Bucks, I mean, the thing is Giannis is Giannis.
Giannis is Giannis, and we saw what Miles Turner can do in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, so I think just having Giannis, you know, be an MVP-caliber player is enough to be a problem for the Cavs.
And the hilarious thing is they would have beaten Indiana if Kevin Porter wasn't a knucklehead in the first round, right?
I'll take that all day, though. Yeah. Screw the Bucks. Have fun with that, so, bozo.
I'm going to do some... We're not going to go around the whole NBA, but we're going to do some over-unders. What's the Bucks win total?
Yeah, I was curious.
Yeah, I'm curious, too. So we've got... hot Googling action going on here. What are the over-under odds here? For the Bucks were 43.5. I'm going to take the over there.
Yeah. I mean, that's more a function of the East being crappy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but also Giannis being Giannis, right?
Right. Yeah,
I honestly,
I think he's on a mission this year to prove he's one of the best players in the NBA.
Oh yeah, of all time.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, he's a 2-time MVP, I believe.
Believe you're correct.
Yeah. I mean, Giannis, he's
chasing greatness.
Giannis wants to go get another MVP, right?
And a ring.
He needs another ring. Yeah, and if he doesn't feel like he's gonna get one, then they're gonna.
What do you make of that? So there was that rumor he was supposed to be a Knick. How much stock do you put into that?
I think it's possible. The problem is the Haslams are involved, right?
Well, yeah. I don't know how that cuts. That means that the Bucks
refuse to trade him to the Knicks. You know, I think he would be. I don't know what they're going to do. I guess the Knicks are an option, but I could more likely see him going west. But
join Luka in LA?
Maybe. The problem is LA doesn't have any capital to move. You know, that's a problem.
Yeah.
LA doesn't have any capital. And I actually think the Clippers might be a more likely destination, but who knows what's going on with the Clippers. there's a good question. So the Clippers, 49.5. I'm going to take the under there.
Yeah.
I
that's high.
It is. I don't get what they're doing, but they did... Yeah, let me look at the Clippers roster, because they've obviously got... They went big on bigs.
Harden and Kawhi.
Yeah, but they went big on bigs. Then they got Bradley Beal. Then they got John Collins, Brook Lopez, Ivaka Zubac. Like, they have a lot of bigs, and that was their whole thing, is we're just going to get enough bigs that we can get past Giannis. Or not Giannis. Jokic. Right? That we're just going to throw a million bigs at Jokic is their plan, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, they're older. Like,
yeah.
They got a
lot of... No, I know where you're coming from.
Bradley Beal, like, man, what? Like, Kawhi doesn't play unless he gets, like, his
payments.
His Swiss bank account.
No, I think the odds are it all falls apart is much more likely than it all stays together. And they have James Harden and Chris Paul, which is, it's Chris Paul's swan song here. So, but I'm taking the under. I think it falls apart.
Yeah, it's hard to, yeah, they're a cursed franchise. Also, they deserve it.
They do, yeah, yeah. Here's another NBA win total I think is nuts. The Hawks, 47.5. I don't understand that number.
They just get beat by 30. Yeah, they got beat by 20 tonight by Toronto.
Yeah, no, I think I don't understand what anybody sees in the Hawks. But Trey has hypnotized the rest of the NBA for the last 7 years. So, whatever.
Yeah, he's eating off that New York performance. Jeez.
Oh, my gosh.
He's milking that like nobody's business.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then we've got, of course, the other game coming up for the Cavs. So the next one we got coming up is the Pistons at 46.5. The Pistons win or lose tonight?
I heard that they stunk it up. That was the rumor. I don't know if that's true or not.
They lost
to Chicago on the road.
Yeah. Yikes. Yeah. I don't know what to make of that. Cade was good, but yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
What's the number again?
47.5. Yeah. That's actually a really good number.
Yeah, I'm taking the under.
I'm going to take the under, too. I don't think it'll be much under that, but no, I have a hard time.
Yeah.
45-46 feels like the number.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly.
Of course, we got one in our favor now. After
exactly. We we'll take that. We'll take that. Well, also, you know, Jay Bozo hates got to stay alive.
Yeah. Yeah, that Bulls team is so weird. Like, they are a total team of, like, they're a team made up entirely of fifth men.
Yeah, a towering monument to mediocrity of the yes, NBA.
Exactly. But they are showcasing Vooch, so.
Well, also, I would argue, we watched them two games in the preseason. They were feisty.
They played hard.
Yeah, they had nothing for our starters, but, you know, once the starters were out, they were killing us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and they didn't even have Coby White tonight, which is crazy.
Right.
So.
Well, and also I think Jaden Ivey is injured for Detroit, and it's funny because a lot of people like to slander him that I see around NBA circles, but yeah. He's really the only other guy besides Cade that can actually produce offense and attack the rim. Yeah. So, like, they're going to miss him even if he's not an efficient scorer. So,
yeah.
who else is scoring? Who else is creating buckets and getting to the rim?
Well, Ronald Holland had 19 points off the bench. So.
Okay, so maybe he's taking a leap this year.
Yeah, but also the Duncan Robinson signing. I didn't
understand.
Is that
where he went?
Yeah, that's where he went, and he got a raise, which was insane. But here's his line tonight:
crazy.
1-for-7 from the field, 0-for-5 from deep, 2 points, -7 in 32 minutes. No,
take that
stocks or boards.
Haters.
Like, I did not understand that signing at all. And after one game, I feel completely justified in that. Yeah, and then of course they got Oscar Thompson, who actually is a good piece to have. But then they got the perpetual shitty defensive power forward Tobias Harris. So I think they're just still another year away. They don't make a lot of sense to me. They got Karras. So forever in our hearts.
Yeah. Shout out to Karras.
Yeah. But
bring
yeah,
it home.
They got their butts handed to them by the Bulls tonight. And the Bulls, I mean, I will say they have players I like on that team. Like, I like Dosunmu. I think he could be a really good bench guard for a lot of teams because he's a guy that's competent on offense and plays really good defense and can play either guard spot. Like, every playoff team needs that. Like a Sean Livingston who can shoot a little bit, you know, and with a little more bulk. But everybody needs that. And, you know, Vooch played his ass off tonight. He had 28 and 14. So he's a guy low key, I wouldn't mind the Cavs trying to figure out a way to get him. But that would probably mean moving Allen or Garland. And I'm not sure the juice is worth the squeeze there.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And then, of course, you've got Okoro with the most Okoro line ever. Started 22 minutes, 0 points, plus 17, five fouls.
How many rebounds?
Five. That which is, might be a career high.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, that Bulls team is weird. So anyway. What is the Bulls number? Actually, I would take the over on 33.5 on the Bulls. I'm going to take the over. Like, yeah, every year, well, they're always hanging around the 11th seed, right?
Yeah, no.
I don't see it breaking any different.
There's a, you know, in the NBA chat I'm in on Twitter, a couple Bulls fans.
Oh, man, you're still on that accursed hell site.
Well, of course, man, until it burns down to the ground. Until
it burns. That's where you got to do your Oppo research.
Exactly, exactly. Well, the non-Bulls fans were saying that was an easy number to hit over.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like, come on, you there should have been more like 36, 37.
Oh, I agree with that 100% because they're not a team that tanks, and they haven't tanked.
No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, and shout out to Modest, too. Like, nice little hit on the draft for them with that.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. Modest or Buzelis.
Buzelis, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then the other team the Cavs got coming up next, the Brooklyn Nets, that number is 19.5. and the funny thing is about those low numbers like that, they always come down to a tank off. Like, it's always like the end of the season, and you got like Brooklyn playing Utah. And it's like, who wants this game less? You know?
That's tough, actually, because that's a low number.
It is a low number. It's hard to lose that many games in the NBA, but...
And they're in the East, so you'd think they get the 20. 20 and 62 is a bad record.
Yeah, but I don't...
I'll take the over. Do it.
I'm going to take the under just because do they have anybody on that team?
Apparently that Igor guy that they drafted can shoot. I don't know if that means anything.
Igor, okay, well, now I'm going to go look. Well, he didn't play tonight.
oh, he didn't play tonight.
Yeah.
They got
whooped.
Yeah, by Charlotte, who believes in Charlotte.
Yeah, another ball brother. I mean, maybe this is the year Charlotte figures it out. I tend to doubt it. Oh God!
Oh no, Demon played. He was 4 for 6.
What's his first 14
name? 14 points, 5 rebounds, two assists, solid. 1 steal.
Yeah, off there the you bench. Go. Oh God, and they got Michael Porter Jr. I love it.
Okay, I was wrong. Okay, I was wrong.
You're going to the under.
Yeah, MPJ is like gotta be. No, he doesn't deserve happiness or success.
Yeah, exactly. Now, they are a team I would love to see the Cavs maybe grab a big off of, but other than that, yeah. Oh, I like De'Ron Sharp, but they just paid him, so. I actually like Nick Claxton, but he's...
No.
He's just Jared Allen all over again.
They're overrated. I'm sorry. No, yeah. No, I'm going to have to stop you there.
Well, and I forgot the other guy that Charlotte has, Tank Commander Sexton, so...
Woo!
Young
shout
Bull.
Shout out to Young Bull, baby.
Yeah, as my buddy Eric used to call him, Young Bullshit. Yeah, no, they're not bad. I actually, that's a good question. What's Charlotte's number? Their number is 27.5.
Oh, I take the over.
Yeah, I think they'll edge over the over. But it's so hard because they're a team that always is like is stinking it up and then they shut everybody down.
Well, they're not going to be good. It's just that the East with everybody being crippled, I'm just taking the over simply on that.
Here's an interesting one. Indy at 37.5.
Under.
Under. No, Rick Carlisle is from the Greg Popovich coaching tree, and when your guys are hurt, you freaking go in the tank, and they're going to go in the tank
that
for
smells
picks.
Exactly. That reeks of a one-year tank off and regroup.
Yeah, they're going to make up a bunch of injuries for guys and then reap the rewards.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, under. Lock it in.
Yeah. Yeah, the other weird number is Miami at 37.5, but they killed tonight. They ended up losing that game. Oh, my goodness, because they were killing Orlando.
Yeah, it was a close one, though.
Yeah, wow. They were killing Orlando, and then, Andrew Wiggins is involved. Never mind. Minus 21.
Bam. Bam stinking it up.
Yeah. No.
4-13.
Oh, and they got Norm Powell, too. Yeah, they're so mediocre. Weird team. Yeah. But they're another team that doesn't tank.
Yeah, they're going to benefit from a weak East. What was the number?
37.5.
Yeah, I'm taking the over.
You're taking the over.
Yeah.
I'm
Spoelstra's still the coach, right?
Yeah. God, that's such a... I'm going to take the under, but I wouldn't actually put any money. That's a good number.
Oh, my God. What a coward. That is the most cowardly take.
I don't bet. I don't put any money on any of these.
So. Come on, man.
Fake gambling addict Nate wouldn't actually bet this. So, anyway, we'll be right back with some more bullshit. Welcome back to Cavs Podcast. Nate Smith, Chris Francis. Boston Celtics, number 41.5, hammer the under, right? I'm hammering the under. Did I lose you? Sorry, can you hear me?
Oh, I lost you for a second. Yeah, I lost you for a second. It crapped out, but Boston Celtics, I heard.
Wait. 41.5, hammer in the under. They're going to find a reason to shut everybody down.
I think it's an Indiana situation, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, should shut it down. Yeah.
The only, and that's why that number is so crazy, because everybody's like, maybe Tatum can come back this year. It's like everybody's like, oh, Tatum's going to be back by the spring. And it's like, if you're the Celtics, are you that dumb?
Exactly.
But if the doctors
also,
but it is the Celtics and they've always been that dumb.
Well. Well, here's the thing, is that...
They run their guys into the ground.
...that he sent out today.
Who?
A.J. DeBanta.
Who is A.J. DeBanta?
He's like the number one kid. Is this...
Oh, okay.
...this coming draft? Is it the next...
He's in the pipeline, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, the rigging is already happening as we speak.
He's going to be a Celtic?
Apparently so.
Ah, I see how it is.
Just like Cooper Flagg in Dallas... You know.
the WWE NBA.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm hammering the under there. I don't think there's any way that they are dumb enough to try and make the playoffs, but stranger things have happened.
It's going to be a pump and dump.
Pump and dump. Yeah, and White and Brown are pretty good players, so who knows?
That's what you do.
Find a reason to sit them.
Yep.
It's going to be Peyton Pritchard running the show.
And Anfernee. Anfernee Simons.
Anfernee Simons. Him. Tank Commander Simons.
There you go.
Oh, man. So I have another question. Like, here's a fun one. What about Portland, who I think might be the most intriguing team in the NBA, because by all accounts, they pulled off an absolute heist in the draft, getting the Chinese big man. I can't even pronounce his name. You know how to pronounce his name?
Isn't it just Yang Hansen?
Yes, it is.
What the heck?
What the hell? But I won't screw it up. Yeah, no, I think Portland is...
Hansen is a long storied tradition in the mainland China.
Mbop.
There you go, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, Portland, that's an interesting team, and everybody I've heard is raving about him. Like, they're just like, yeah, this guy could be really, really good. They're beating the T-Wolves right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, I don't, let's pump the brakes a little bit there.
Oh, hey, you know, you know me, I always like overhyping two tall big men, but yeah, I mean, I actually like the Blazers. They're a fun team to root for. They've drafted well. You know, Shaedon Sharpe, I thought it was decent. Kamara was a really good draft pick. I am not a Denny Avdija fan, but he has played well for him. You know, Jeremy Grant, pump and dump. They got to find a way to get off that contract. So,
yeah. No, I mean, they're kind of like, I don't know. Like,
I'm plus, they got Scoot and Lillard.
I'm not as high on them. I just
think they're fun. That's my thing, right?
Sure. I think they're a more fun version. They're the West Coast Bulls, but perhaps better.
Yeah. Yeah, well, their line is 35.5, and I just think the West is too good.
There you go. So, yeah, they are the West Coast Bulls.
Yeah.
Truly.
They're too good. And I'm going to take the under.
I'd agree.
Yeah. And then the other West Coast Bulls, the Sacramento Kings, 32.5. We should just do this every year. That just over-unders the night when the first scores are
exactly.
Massive overreactions to tiny sample sizes.
Exactly. Love it.
Yeah, but the Kings are winning by 20, right? The Kings are up. Oh, but it's against the Suns. So, and the Suns number is absolutely stupid. The Suns number is 30.5, and I am hammering the under there.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Like, they could end up at 20-25.
But don't they not have their draft pick? Isn't that part of the math?
No, they yeah, they're screwed seven ways to Sunday.
Yeah, you gotta love it, Matt Ishbia.
Oh, did you see Bill Simmons? I guess they got into a Twitter war. Matt Ishbia and Bill Simmons, like literally a day or two
over ago. What?
Over Bill's criticisms of the Suns.
Oh,
yeah. Ishbia apparently took offense to.
Well, he came into that team like a wrecking ball and screwed. Like, that Beal trade was the most batshit crazy.
Is he the Haslam of the NBA?
No. No, Haslam is the Haslam of the NBA. You can't be the Haslam of the NBA when he's also there. But, no, I'm trying to think of, like, who's just the most batshit NFL owner other than the Haslams?
I guess the meddling, like the typical meddling owner would be like Jerry Jones.
No, or Dan, he's the Dan Snyder of the NBA.
There you go.
Yeah,
there
he's Dan go. Snyder. Yeah, right. Who isn't even an owner anymore. Yep. Jerry Jones won something at one point, so, and he's been living off it the rest of his days, but yeah, Dan Snyder is a good comp.
Children's blood.
Indeed. But yeah, that 30.5 seems too high.
Yeah, I'm taking the other. Let's bang the under on that. Yep.
Yeah. So the other interesting one, we got Spurs Mavericks. It's halftime. The Spurs are up 60-51. The Spurs number is 44.5. And what do you think of that number?
It feels high.
Really? I don't know. It all depends on, Jesus Christ, Wemby's got 21-8 at the half.
Yeah, Wemby MVP, you should have hit the Wemby MVP bet.
Yeah, I should have before the season started, yeah.
It was great odds.
Yeah. Yeah, but...
No, Wemby looked ridiculous. It's the fact that the Spurs actually suck all around him. They've got nothing besides Wemby.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've got a few guys. Like, I like Devin Vassell, but he's not, like, a second banana guy. Like, he's a nice bench guy.
Yep.
And De'Aaron Fox isn't even playing. Castle, that's the other thing, is they're not really incentivized to be that good yet. Like, they really should collect some more assets. You know, their best bench player is probably Luke Kornet, and that's a little scary. They have Dylan Harper, but yeah, they don't have a lot of depth.
Yeah, no, they stink. Their roster.
Yeah, and Harrison Barnes is cooked. So
yeah, no, exactly. So, but Wemby could be that Giannis kind of guy. Well,
yeah, and there's the other rumor is that they've got the ammunition to make another big trade. Speaking of Giannis, I don't think you'd see Giannis and Wemby on the same team, but that team would be damn hard to beat.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the move, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, who was the other guy that was rumored to want to go to the Spurs? Was it was KD for a while, wasn't it? Before
yeah, it
he
was.
Went to Houston,
it was because he's from or he went to school in Texas.
Yeah, but yeah, I think if Wemby's just looking like lights out, I think they're a team that tries to put together some moves at the deadline.
They absolutely should. They got ammunition still.
Yeah, and you don't know how long a guy like that, his health is going to hold out.
Yeah, he already had, what, deep vein thrombosis last year?
Yeah, exactly.
That's some crazy shit.
Yeah, exactly. You got to do some calf raises.
There you go.
There's a big link between cardiovascular health and the size of your calves.
No, I heard about that. Yeah. Also, your thighs, too.
And your forearms.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, it's all about the muscle mass at your extremities.
Yes, exactly. Wow, yeah. You're not just getting basketball here.
you're getting life knowledge. Anyway, what is that number for the Spurs? That number is 44.
Yeah,
44.5. I'm gonna take the over. I think they sneak up there.
Ugh. It's hard to bet against Wemby. But
it is hard to bet
under.
Against Wemby.
I'm gonna go under. Because I got to stick with my conviction that the rest of their roster sucks.
Yeah. And then you got Sacramento's 32.5. The problem is they have too many kind of good players.
Yeah. Wow. They really, you are right. They are Bulls.
They are. I mean, they literally have DeRozan.
and Zach LaVine.
Exactly. They double down on being the Bulls of the West. Yeah, which is hilarious because Mike Brown got fired and then got the best job in the East.
That's crazy.
It's so dumb. Vivek Ranadive is a lunatic.
Yeah, what a clown.
Yeah, exactly. So
is Sabonis injured?
No, they got Sabonis too.
He's not playing tonight.
Oh, he might. I don't think it's anything serious. I haven't heard of anything serious.
Yeah, so. They got Russell Westbrook, too.
Yeah, I mean, they're such a... They're the team that I wish to God...
Okay, I'm taking the over. That number's too low. I mean, they're going to get 35, 36 wins, I think.
Yeah, I get
they might
where...
flirt with 40.
Yeah, I think that number is too low. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think they'll get 40. I think they'll get like 37, 38 because the West is just too tough. But
yeah. Who's their coach? If they fired Mike Brown, who'd they hire?
Oh, God. Now I got it.
I'll look it up. I got you. Hot Googling action right now.
I'm
Christie.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They got Doug Christie, reality TV show, star Doug Christie. Oh, my Lord. Yeah.
That, husband of the year, Doug Christie.
Oh my God, that is a match made in hell. Yeah, that's going to be insane. That's going to be so nuts. I love it. But yeah, they are
blowing
the
kisses to his wife still.
What?
After every win, is he blowing kisses to his wife every win?
I don't know. I would have to watch Kings games, and I don't stay up that late.
Light the beam.
What is light the beam?
They have a beam that they light after every win.
Oh, the Kings?
Yeah.
This is how much I know. See, the problem is it was no Kings Day last weekend, so I've just erased that team from my
memory. Apparently so. Yeah, that was one of my friend's good tweets was, I didn't realize so many people were against Sacramento.
There you go. Yeah. Dude, we went over Atlanta's number being insane.
Yeah.
The other insane number is the Jazz, 18.5.
What was their number?
18.5. Like, the problem is can you crawl under that number?
Yeah, I know. That's a good number.
Of course, Ace Bailey's already hurt. So,
is he really hurt, or are they just tanking yet again?
They're tanking with their rookie. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them. It's so funny. The other insanely low number is the Wizards. And the Wizards and the Jazz have taken NBA tanking to a new art form.
Well, they kind of need to.
It works for Oklahoma City and Houston.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So I can't argue with it. No.
They have to compete with the Nets, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. So here's some more interesting ones. We went over Charlotte. The Mavs, I think their number is way too high, 41.5.
Yeah, they have no guards.
They have no guards, and Anthony Davis is going to eventually get hurt, as he does every year. So,
And they're running. I'm sorry, it's just a joke of a starting lineup. Like, you know, no guards. One guard. Your one guard is Klay Thompson.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Who's basically the robot that shoots threes.
Yeah, who can't dribble. Yeah.
Yeah, he can't dribble or guard anyone anymore. Yeah, that is a goofy-ass team. There is a team that, if they had anybody I liked, I would be like, oh, that could be a Darius Garland destination. But the only guy on that team I would want is Cooper Flagg. Maybe Derek Lively, but
get a twofer.
A twofer? There you go. And I don't want any part of Anthony Davis, so.
Hell no.
No. Yeah, exactly. So, other weird numbers. Denver, 53.5. I'm actually going to take the over.
I'd take the over, too.
I think Denver is gearing up for a run. And they don't have God's perfect idiot, Michael Porter Jr., dragging him down anymore.
100%. I would take the over on them, too.
Yeah, the West is so rough. Like, Golden State's 47.5, and it's all health for them, right?
Yeah, and I'd take the over. I actually think that the West is low-key more top-heavy than people think.
As in, there's not as much depth there?
Yeah, yeah. But the good teams are really good.
Oh, yeah. No, and I think Golden State has got a chance to be very good.
Exactly.
But I also think they also have the highest chance for injury.
100%.
So, I mean, I don't root for guys to get hurt, but 100% sounds like a good percentage to me. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, no, you know that probably Steph and Butler and Draymond are probably playing, all of them are playing 60 games tops this year.
Yeah, and that's the problem with that number.
You're right.
Yeah, but I think they'll take the over because the NBA loves the Warriors and they're going to get a lot of
also love. You'd think that they'd load manage, like stagger all the load management so that they could keep guys on the court.
Well, yeah, but that's hard too. Like, can you win without all three against good teams? I mean, I think you can, but
you can win with two out of the three. As long as you have two out of the three, I think you could get away with it.
Yeah. I'm going to take the over. The next one from the West that's goofy is 52.5 for the Rockets. And the Rockets, I actually am going to take the under because the Rockets are going to play bully ball and beat up a lot of teams. The problem is they're going to have a hard time in the West because they turn the ball over too much and they don't have a point guard. Well, they don't play Reed Sheppard.
What was the number again?
52.5.
I'm taking the over.
You're taking the over?
No, Ime runs guys ragged.
Yeah. Oh, I get
and
it.
And he's defensive. You know, he's like a kind of a quasi JB kind of guy.
No, he's like JB plus insane and sex fiend.
There you go. Exactly.
Like, I'm not wrong.
They got a playboy for.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
playboy for a coach.
There's another team that would make sense as a Garland destination. I honestly wouldn't love it. The problem is they don't have anybody I'd actually want for Garland that they would trade. Like, I would love Sengun.
Yeah, their best player.
Well, exactly. They're not going to do that. That's what I'm saying. And then the other option is like Steven Adams. I don't want him. I like Tari Eason. The problem is he makes way too much money to make that trade work. Or too little money to make that trade work. And then they got Jabari Smith, but he has that goofy-ass poison pill provision. So it's really hard to trade for him. Nobody's ever traded for a guy with... I think there's been one trade in league history for a guy with a PPP. So, yeah, I'm taking the under there. Lakers, 46.5, hammer the under.
Yeah, I'm taking the under, too.
But they're going to run Luka into the ground, and then LeBron...
The team sucks outside of Luka and LeBron.
Well, they got Reed... They got... not Reed Sheppard. Fuck. I can't remember.
Reeves. Yeah, who cares, though?
No,
he doesn't play defense.
No, yeah, and the problem is, they got a bunch of knuckleheads for the rest of their positions. So, yeah, I'm taking the under. I think LeBron, do you think he finishes the season as a Laker?
That's a good question. Because, I mean, it's hard to say because this is the first time in his career... Probably, yeah, it's literally the first time in his career where a team's not going to just do whatever he wants.
Yeah, exactly.
And I could see him, like, rage quitting on that shit.
Because I could see him doing...
They need him. That's the other interesting part of it, is that they suck without him, too.
Yeah. Holy shit, the Jazz are beating the Clippers 122-98.
Uh-oh.
That game's over.
That 20 is already in jeopardy, isn't it?
It is.
Hey, at least I took the under on the Clippers, though. Exactly. We took the under on the Clippers. We still exactly. won. We won.
We took the under, and we're investing the winnings into a lawn care company. So.
That's right.
Got him.
Harbor Foundation, shout out to you.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, the other one that is a weird one, the Grizz. 39.5. Such a hard number.
I feel like that's an over.
They did beat the Pelicans 128-122 tonight.
There's a team that I think is low-key going to suck no matter what.
Oh, I agree with you. I'm going to take the over on the Grizz, too. I think
they're a try-hard team.
Right, and they were like the 2 seed within the last 2 years, and it's mainly the same team. So, yeah, I'm going to take the over on the Grizz.
Damn, they won 48 games last year.
Yeah, I don't understand that number. Yeah, I don't understand that number.
It's because Ja's out, right?
How long is Ja out for, though?
I don't know.
Oh, and because they lost Bane.
Oh, that's why. There you go. That explains it.
Yeah, but I'm going to take the over.
My God, Wimby's unstoppable.
Yeah, it's
he's literally got
hammer the over, people. They're going to be making a trade midseason.
He's got Hakeem moves.
So stupid. Yeah, but he shoots him out to the 3-point line. Yeah. The Pelicans, 30.5. Are you going to take the under there?
Wow, it's that low?
Yeah.
Okay, I can't do that. I mean, they're going to be better than 30.5.
Yeah, I'll take the over. I hate that number. I'll take that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, that's obviously saying Zion's never playing.
He's getting hurt again. Yeah, but I mean, if you took that bet the last few years, it was a good bet.
That's true.
Yeah.
Touché, my friend.
Okay, so we both took the over. Here's a crazy number. 62.5 for the Thunder. That is, honestly, I'm going to take the over.
I'm going to take the over, too.
They're so GD deep is the problem.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Like, they're going to be a regular season juggernaut. Like, they could load manage three guys from their starting lineup and still beat most of the crappy teams.
Yeah, I agree.
All the crappy teams.
I agree.
They can load manage their way through the easy games.
They won 68 last year, right?
Yeah, exactly. And they have more young guys getting better. They're still super young.
Exactly. Yeah. No. Chet's young. They got that one kid that they
Topic.
Topic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No. They're set up to be like the best.
24. Yeah.
They're set up to be one of the best teams in the NBA for like the next decade and a half. Well, at least a decade. It's stupid. Thanks a lot, all these teams that sold all their draft picks to the Thunder. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Orlando 51.5.
Over.
Yeah, I'll take the over. Philly 43.5.
Under,
yeah. We covered Phoenix. We covered the Blazers. We only have two teams left. Toronto, 39.5.
Apparently that's going to be over.
I hate to say it, but Toronto's kind of built sneaky smart.
I don't know if I...
Well, they just have so many long wings, guys who can score.
I agree with
score.
That, but I mean... It's
but I'm with you. City. I'm taking the under on Toronto.
Ooh.
I just... They don't have enough guard play to me.
Right. No, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm still taking the over. I think that's one of the, it's the East is kind of crappy. They're going to be, I'm saying they're taking the place of like the Hawks essentially or something, or the Bulls, or I don't know. One of the mid teams.
And the final number of the night, Cleveland Cavaliers, 56.5. And we spotted one for the under tonight.
That's tough.
It is.
I'm going to say over.
I'm going to say over as well.
Yeah, I think.
They're deep when they're healthy. Deep,
and their starting lineup when when Hunter's back is fantastic.
Well, and their top nine when they got Strus and
Hunter. Yeah,
and Hunter and Garland. Yeah, are brutal.
Yeah, no, they should dominate. They were dominant. I mean, the starting lineup was absolutely dominant every time they touched the floor of the preseason.
So well, they played like ass tonight and almost beat the Knicks.
Yeah.
You know, missing three guys.
Yeah, missing three basically starters.
Three starters, exactly. Yeah. Two starters in their sixth man. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
Because Strus is going to be the sixth man. Even though I would not be surprised to see nights where he plays more minutes than Garland.
Oh yeah. No, I mean,
he should,
that's going to be that's going to be the very interesting thing to watch to me is, how much they stagger, how much does Garland actually play when it really matters?
Yeah. Well, to me, they should be capping Garland's minutes out around like 32 minutes a game. Keep him healthy. Let him be an all-star. You don't have to be a first-teamer. Just stay healthy. Like, you got to keep the guys healthy for the playoffs. That's the one thing
that
I would
hold,
say.
Yeah, that would hit the under. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're totally going to – yeah, I think you're absolutely correct. They're not gunning for anything other than being healthy and playing their best at the end of the year.
That being said, I think they have the depth – at guard with Ball. And honestly, I like what I saw from Proctor tonight. I think he can be their fourth point guard.
I think he's I think, I don't know if he's a true point guard or just like he's a combo guard that can just.
I loved his feel tonight in the pick and roll.
Except for that one play.
Where he didn't get it to Allen. But other than that, like, I thought he made really good reads in the pick and roll, and he was not forcing the ball to the primary action. Like, he's the guy who spotted Nance in the corner twice. I just thought those were great reads. I thought he made really good drives, really crafty around the screen. I've actually been super impressed, and he already looks better than Craig Porter Jr. and frankly, Jalen Tyson, at least offensively.
Well, yeah, probably so. But
I think Tyson had a bad game. I don't think he's a bad player.
I'm still taking Tyson over him.
Oh, I like Proctor. I think long-term as a prospect, I really like everything I've seen from Proctor from preseason summer league. Like, I haven't...
You'd take him over Tyson long-term?
Yes.
That's crazy.
No, to me, shooting and ability to run an offense, which I think he has both, I think he just has more upside. Tyson's a nice player, but I see him being a 3-and-D player with a little bit of playmaking.
Yeah, I would disagree. I think they're pigeonholing him, and that's why he looks like that's why he looks worse than he actually is.
Okay, well, agree to disagree. Okay, we have beaten
this. I'm saying this as a Duke fan, too, you know?
I know, that's why I'm like, oh my God, apparently the brotherhood is just a foster brotherhood.
Wow. Well, that's what you get when you don't win championships, Proctor.
Well, maybe they weren't using him right.
Never know.
Oh, you never know. I can't keep college basketball straight anymore anyway. I love that there's more continuity in the NBA now than there is in college basketball. Oh, anyway. Cavs coming up. You got to hope after their next six games. What are we hoping for? 4-2? I think that would be pretty good with the guys they got coming up.
I don't remember what the schedule is.
Oh, they got the Celtics, Hawks, Bucks, Nets, Pistons.
I don't know what the home and aways are, but
so, oh, that's Lord more like, Aches, yeah, pick a lane, Chris.
4-2 is the minimum.
Oh, well, they've already lost one. Oh, I'm saying, okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. So, yeah, you got to hope they're at least 4-2. Yep. Yeah, that's a tough schedule, though.
Is it really?
I mean,
okay, at Detroit is going to be hard. Okay,
at Detroit's hard. The Celtics.
Okay, yeah, you're right. That's sneaky hard. But
it's sneaky hard. You got the Celtics who aren't in tank mode yet. White kills them. Then the guy they should have traded for.
That's a real bet. I think that's the gut check game right there.
Yeah.
You'd be concerned if they didn't freaking win that one in terms of, you know.
Oh, I agree with you. That's a
game they really should win.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's an early crucible for them. No. Yep. On that note, you got anything to pitch?
Oh, do I have anything to pitch? That's a great question. No, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. That's terrible. That's terrible.
What?
Oh, I know. No, I got it. I got it.
Okay.
I got a good one, too.
Well, there
I'm
you go.
Pitching the Cleveland Museum of Art.
Oh, that's a killer, man. Free museum.
Free museum and a collection that rivals, to me, the Met.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Crazy collection.
No, the Cleveland Museum of Art is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great pitch.
And I'm also pitching the Red Line Rapid Transit.
Nice.
You can get around Cleveland riding the train just like a real city.
Yeah,
it's
ridiculous. That's awesome.
It's underutilized. What I was gonna say with the art museum, it was funny seeing Case Western kids doing their homework in their big auditorium area. So
yeah, that's great.
It's dope.
What do I have to pitch? I have the new Big Thief album is great. If you're a Big Thief fan, kind of an alt country singer-songwriter, new, you know, with a modern sound band.
Way to bring the culture.
It's coming soon to a coffee shop near you. It's music by someone in their 30s for someone in his 50s. So. And then what else we got? I've been watching a lot of TV, been rewatching Breaking Bad, still holds up, still killer. One of the things that I love is, the fact that it was made for commercials. So the episodes are like 42, 43 minutes long, and it is so much better than these shows that are an hour long that have 20 minutes of cruft in them. These dramatic shows, like, they have just, that one of the great things about that show is there's no bullshit in it, or very little bullshit in it. Like, there's just enough bullshit to keep an arty douche like me happy, but just enough. So this still holds up. So I'll pitch Breaking Bad, and then my sci-fi shows, Foundation on Apple TV was fantastic. Don't go watch the new season of Invasion on Apple TV. It was garbage. Terrible, terrible, hot garbage. I'm still watching it, but it sucks. Anyway. And
okay, Trump.
Wow. Wow. That was rough. Why did you say that? That hurt my fifis.
The Diet Coke, you literally did the Diet Coke tweet.
You know, oh my god! I don't freaking follow the Twitters, man.
It was a famous one 10 years ago.
Oh my
when
god!
He was tweeting.
I was so young then, Chris.
Young and naive, weren't you? just bright eye and bushy tailed.
Yeah, apparently. You hitting any Cavs games this year? Hoping to?
We'll see. Yeah, I mean,
With $200 million in luxury tags, I'm sure the prices have gone up.
Yeah, exactly. That's honestly been the problem. Yeah,
yeah.
No, it's cheaper for me to sit my butt down in my nice apartment and.
Yeah, and if you got to be in the nosebleeds, you got a much better view.
There you go.
Here's my pitch for this week. Shout out to my boy Eli. You're in our thoughts and prayers, buddy. So I'll just leave it at that.
Love it.
Yeah. And nothing but the best to the whole CTB crew and all of our CTB readers. Hopefully we'll be here with a little more content. I know it's been a content desert on CTB. We got to win back some of our readers and listeners, but hopefully y'all are sticking around. And as always, go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite bloggers.